And welcome to our 30th episode of Seize Up. I'm Dee Dee.
I'm Olivia.
And after much toil and struggle, we are here with you to celebrate 2 years of podcasting.
Woohoo!
Woo! Go us! in case you haven't, this is a special episode, but I'm going to run through housekeeping as always. Our contact info hasn't changed. Email address still seizeuppodcast@gmail.com. That's CSUPPODCAST@gmail.com. Twitter is seizeuppodcast. You can find this podcast on Olivia's wonderful blog, I Am Causeway Street. Tumblr.com, and also on my New Yorker blog, Tumblr.com, and also on iTunes. And we'll have the link to iTunes in the show notes. Like I said before, this episode is going to be a departure from our normal Celtics focus set, because we have a lot to talk about in the world of sports, being a decent human being everywhere. Although, you know, we do want to shout out to Shorty and hated hearing about your injury and hope you get better soon.
Thanks for always being a great listener to our podcast. Paying attention.
And the trade rumors sucks, and there are a bunch of BS, and I feel like Celtics management is playing mind games, I guess we can leave that for another late night hate night, because this one...
Oh, yeah.
This one is going to be about, all of the scandals and the terrible crap that's been happening in sports lately, and the cover-up. And basically, we're just going to rant. So that's why we're calling this Late Night Hate Night. And
yeah.
Olivia's got a lot to say. And let you have it. just to set up, I'm sure everybody's heard about the different domestic violence cases that have popped up in the NFL. What you may not have heard of is all of the abuse cases that have been swept under the rug in the NBA. We're going to hopefully... get to all of that, and as much as we can before our voices give out from ranting. So, Olivia, where do you want to start?
I guess is what really made everyone pay attention for once to these cases in the past couple of weeks has been the Roger Goodell's really response to the criticism, which, you know, comes off as pretty insincere, but also, like, just the fact that it took a video of Ray Rice, like, it took a video for us to understand how bad domestic violence is, you know, in order for everyone to respond. Like, they had to see a video, even though this happened months ago, and that's pretty shameful.
And not just one video, too.
Right.
Just after the first video came out, we were still hearing, you know, well, we need to see both sides of it. We need to hear both sides of it. There were still doubts in a lot of people's minds until the second video came out.
Right. And even with those videos, as horrible as they are, you go to Deadspin articles or wherever they're posted, you'll find comments where people are joking about it. joking about fantasy points and statistics within Ray Rice's like career. I just, people can't hide behind the excuse that it's just a joke, because when you make jokes like that, it desensitizes you and it desensitizes everyone else to how serious it really is and how bad it really is. So even though people are finally talking about it, and even though the videos and the pictures are just awful, people can still make light of it somehow. I don't understand. And even before this, you and I both have seen like how hard it is just to exist as a female sports fan on Twitter. And you and I both, we aren't even like that popular within the sports fandom, and we still see it all the time. We're constantly reminded.
Dismissive of women's sports in general, and then the women that cover men's sports, they're dismissive of them. It's just across the board, people think that women are less than.
Yeah.
And it's a pervading attitude in sports. It extends itself to issues like domestic violence.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's not unexpected for this insensitive joke played out on online, a manifestation of the attitudes about women that most sports fans seem to hold.
Especially in sports, where these athletes are just like lionized for their ability, and they come to expect things from people. They come to expect like getting away with certain things, and they come to expect sex from women, apparently, even in college. I mean, that was there was a really good article about that after the most recent Jameis Winston suspension. Where even, you know, football players in college expect that kind of, like, rock star treatment or whatever, this fantasy life, that we let them live and get away with. But another example of domestic abuse within the NFL was Jonathan Dwyer, the Arizona Cardinals, who punched his wife in the face after she refused to have sex with him. And in society at large, men expect sex from women, but I imagine that it might be even more heightened, like in sports, where we just like encourage men to be super masculine, and apparently being super masculine is being super sexual and violent, and the excuse that they get is boys will be boys. Like, you hear that all the time, and we really need to change that. It's exhausting.
It's disgusting as well. What was that? Remember that story about the guy who was keeping a spreadsheet of all the times he was turned down for sex?
Yeah.
Because he felt it was owed to him? I mean, it's like,
yeah,
it's that kind of entitlement with tacked on with, like, you know, 250 pounds of muscle. Like, these dudes are trained,
yeah,
to be able to mow another physical specimen down. Like, they're trained,
yeah,
to use weapons. And so,
mm-hmm,
they may not know when to turn that off.
Right.
And then you add the presence of performance-enhancing drugs, and it's just a whole different ballgame. And but the women that, well, mostly the women, the people that trust these players, and at a extreme disadvantage, and, you know,
yeah,
their safety is at risk.
You're right.
But,
and this is a culture that boys are raised in. You know, if they start playing football at a young age and play it in high school and then play it in college and then maybe even go to the pros. But even if they don't, there's still that mentality, like you see it with football fans. And I guess sports, I mean, it's not just football, but I feel like football especially. And you think about all the other issues involving the NFL, especially with the concussion policy. There's just this really harmful culture. And I think it's the NFL has a responsibility to acknowledge that. Because a lot of people say, oh, you know, this is a police issue. It's not the NFL's issue. But, I mean, maybe that'd be true if the justice system we have was anywhere near perfect, but it's not even close. And having power and money is honestly more influential.
Yeah.
And, of course, all Roger Goodell seems to care about is just preserving that.
Especially where his $44 million paycheck is concerned.
Yeah. And another thing I wanted to, like, make a point about was in this case with Jonathan Dwyer, another thing that he did was emotionally abuse his wife and threaten to kill himself if she called the police or left him. And a lot of times, even when I hear men speaking out against domestic violence, the language they use is like, it still kind of romanticizes the issue. Like, women are fragile and weaker and we have to protect them. It's our duty. But a lot of times, domestic violence or violence against women in general, yeah, the physical disadvantage it might be, that is a factor sometimes, but I feel like even more is a psychological. Even if they aren't emotionally abused in that situation, we live in a society where we're taught that women's ideas and opinions and feelings are less important. And it's getting better, but those are still ideas that are enforced, especially in the sports community, where where I really do think if women were placed in more opinion-based roles on these really popular shows, those things would start to change even more. But we live in a society like that, and we still are taught that men's opinions and what they want and feel is more important. And so even if, you know, emotional abuse isn't present, I think there's always that psychological factor that we have to submit. And when you trust someone and they hurt you like that, it's even stronger. And that's part of why men do it. So that should also be addressed, especially when men are talking about it. Because it's great when men speak out against violence against women. But I don't like the language they use a lot of the time. Because it's still about how men are stronger and women are weaker. But that was just a side note, I guess.
Yeah, I can't help but think that there's emotional abuse, some sort of psychological aspect involved with the Rice case, because in the press conference, in her meeting with Goodell,
yeah,
Rice was blaming herself. She was speaking as if she actually did provoke him to knock her out and drag her out of an elevator like she was trash. So, yeah, I think there's something wrong with that emotionally.
Right.
Because Ray Rice sat beside her at the press conference and didn't correct anything that she said. She sat there in that meeting with Goodell while she blamed herself. Jenny Rice's father sat in the press conference and let her take some of the blame for that incident.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on that we won't know about because we don't know what's going on in their heads or what's going on behind closed doors. So just is there that these women aren't safe and nobody really standing up for them. Or,
even before the Rice case, there was a story of the Kansas City Chiefs player, the murder-suicide between him mm-hmm. and his significant other. So we seem to have moved on from that and then forgotten it until this came up.
Yeah.
Kind of speaks to Goodell and his crew and their ability to sweep things under the rug.
Yeah, and when he does that, he's enabling it to happen again because it's somehow deemed acceptable. People, the players get away with it, and people move on.
Yeah, and I think just because it's ended right, oh, everything's okay now, and it's safe to watch football again, because we've cleared all these problems out of the league. No, that just means that the people who are abusing other people are going to get better about hiding it. I'm not going to go to casinos and first seen and elevate a camera. And that's all Goodell is really promoting. Like, not about hitting other people off the field, but do a better job of hiding it.
Yeah.
Please, so I can keep my job.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just disgusting. And the way he was MIA for a couple of weeks while the Peterson case played out in Minnesota.
Yeah.
When all of this news from about Jonathan Dwyer came to light, he was nowhere to be found. When Carolina was still playing Greg Hardy, and he's already been convicted, it's just complete lack of leadership. But he wants to come back a few weeks later with this ineffectual press conference and think, oh, it's better now, because we've set up policy and we've got this new committee, and everything's going to be better now. No, it's not. This is just...
No.
Just grandstanding. He's just a monstrous hypocrite, and so many lives are under his responsibility that he doesn't really care about.
And I think all of these cases... It makes it clear that more needs to be done helping players separate how they behave on the field and how they behave off the field much more and at every single level. But there really needs to be something done, and it needs to be taken seriously. It needs to be a huge, huge part of the sport. Because if it really is as sacred as everyone claims who is a fan of football, it's this beautiful game and it's sacred, then they need to respect it. They need to respect that what happens on the field is completely different than what should happen anywhere else. And that includes at practice or in the locker room. That's another thing that I could rant about forever. The locker room does not exist in a vacuum. I remember... After Jason Collins came out and after Michael Sam came out, anonymous players were saying, oh, locker room will never be the same because he can't get away with saying certain things. Well, you shouldn't ever be able to get away with saying those things. The locker room is not a vacuum, and what's acceptable in the locker room is going to transfer to what you think is acceptable everywhere else. So good that you shouldn't be allowed to say it anymore.
You're
And you shouldn't be allowed to make jokes about women. And yeah, be a professional. That's, yeah.
You're in a professional league. You're a professional athlete.
Yeah.
You're a professional all the time, even in the locker room.
It should be like any other professional workplace.
Yeah. I can't say a sense of stuff in the break room at my job, and neither do you. I don't care how many millions you make.
Right.
So, speaking of Michael Sam, I think he should totally get an apology from all the people who said he'd be a distraction. If he's really not a distraction, he did all this crap.
I think he deserves an apology from ESPN as well for that interest about whether or not he's showering with his teammates. Like, what?
Wow.
That's embarrassing.
Oh, God. Anyway, that's a distraction.
Right.
That's a different rant.
Yeah, it's disappointing to see that all these players who have committed acts of violence, they still get to keep their jobs and play. And Michael Sam doesn't. Can't earn a roster spot anywhere.
We could use him in Washington, because our second
name. Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I can't say on the air.
But something kind of good came out of all of this, sort of, with ESPNW's State of the NFL panel. It's pretty good. I mean, it didn't really get real until, like, the last 5 minutes, and then they just started dropping truth bombs everywhere. But a couple complaints was, like, so it's on the radio. They couldn't even get it on ESPN2, and it's on at 9 o'clock at night. And also, the first time, at least that I've seen / heard, of an all-female panel talking about the NFL is during a domestic violence issue. And it's the first time they get to talk. But I'm glad that they did, at least. I'm glad that they got that time. And they raised a lot of really great points. I think really important questions, like how many women are in the room when important decisions are being made and how many women are in leadership positions. I am not going to get my hopes up about either of those answers.
Yeah, I think Goodell hired maybe 2 or 3 women to form some committee, but is he just going to trot them out when another abuse scandal pops up? Or are they going to be involved in day-to-day decisions?
Right. And I think that considering how big football is in American culture and how much it affects everyone, there's no way you can say that it should primarily be men in those rooms because men play the sport. So there's really no excuse. And actually there's more of a reason for there to be women and for there to be a more diverse group of people because football is so influential on our culture. It is by far the biggest sport in this country. And it impacts TV, advertising. It impacts little kids, and yet they don't care about setting much of an example.
No, they really don't. They care about cleaning things up when things get messy, especially when you're dirty laundry being dragged around by TMZ, which they're totally owning ESPN lately when it comes to these sports scandals. It's scary.
Kind of makes you think about how much ESPN and sports news has become pretty much analogous with entertainment gossips.
Mm-hmm.
Just gossip about a different group of celebrities, trade rumors, stuff like that. Anyway, but yeah, the panel was good. I thought at the beginning that there were too many guys calling in trying to get Cookie for being on the right side of
things. I know. Yeah.
Which is like, you don't have time for this.
No, I was surprised. Like, all of the callers, like all of the fan callers were men. But another thing that they talked about was players who their reasoning for not saying anything was that they don't want audiences to think all athletes are abusers. So one way to do that would be to take a stand and be quite loud about it, that you do not support domestic violence or violence towards women. That's an easy way to do it.
Yes, the word is easy. This is not a murky kind of position to take. I mean, there's only one right side to this. It's hard to take a stand.
It's that, again, that ridiculous sacred locker room BS. God.
Yeah, and then you have fans, Ravens fans, coming to the stadium wearing Ray Rice jerseys because they remember all of the community works he did in Baltimore. And, you know, say that, you know, that shouldn't be overshadowed because he made one mistake, which is assuming that this is the first and only time he's ever hit his fiance/marijuana.
Well, that doesn't matter much to me if it's the first time.
Exactly.
It was wrong.
Take a closer look at commissioner. I don't know why he's still commissioner. Because he's made such a mess of this that I'm surprised half of the NFL sponsors have been pulled out. He's just made such a crock of this whole thing. If you look online, there are still, there are at least 56 instances of domestic violence just since 2006. And from those 56 events, the players were only suspended for 13 games combined.
Wow.
So there's a lot going on that just hasn't hit the news.
No.
And that's been quietly swept under the rug. So as not to set fans and lose sponsorship.
Maybe Roger Goodell's like tenure with the rise of social media, it's made it harder for him to keep things under the rug than it was for commissioners of the past.
True.
So maybe he's still doing a pretty good job of hiding things, but.
Yeah. And not just social media. I hate it when people constantly blame social media for things that, you know, they didn't do. It may expose people who are doing dirt and have been doing dirt for years, like Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
But social media didn't even expose him. He didn't be exposed.
Well, even then, like, people are upset that, oh, you can't get away with anything anymore because of social media. Well, I would hope that these pieces of information would come to light. Would we rather than not?
People do. That's hurting. Not that the NBA is that much better. I mean,
no.
Sat by and let Sterling own a basketball team for 30 years or more.
Yeah.
Knowing that he had these terrible ideologies about people, many of whom played for the team that he owned. And then there's all the different cases of domestic abuse in the NBA that you never heard about, and that nobody did anything about while Stern was in office, and then Stern just rolled it down the hill to Commissioner Silver. So.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Silver's just playing the cleanup man for Stern right now. Who knows how long it's going to take for any of this gets better in any league. So.
Yeah.
So, but we can't. You know, as prevalent as it is in the NFL, probably just as bad in our beloved National Basketball Association. It's just,
yeah, I hope they don't think they can make
me
boost their image or something. Because just in the past couple of weeks,
you know, there's,
we've heard the type of conversations that owners and managers have between each other about players casually.
Ugh.
Like, no reservations about speaking like that. I mean, I hope people didn't think, like, when they heard Donald Sterling talk like that, like, that he was the only one. Because people have really shown a lot of respect towards Danny Ferry because they think, you know, he's progressive with, like, the way that he analyzes players and this or that. And so they didn't think he was anything like Donald Sterling, but surprise, surprise.
In some ways, what Ferry did was worse because he has a direct effect on who makes the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And what you say in those meetings can affect who they try to pursue in free agency or at the draft or whatever.
Yeah.
And what he said had nothing to do with Lou Alding's performance on the court. It was stupid and thoughtless. And it had nothing to do with basketball, but it could. But still, you put that idea in people's heads, and they're going to think about it before they make the call to the agent or managers or whatever.
Yeah.
So he had a direct effect on hiring practices, basically. What Sterling said didn't really have a direct effect on who made the Clippers roster. I mean, you can talk about his housing practices,
mm-hmm.
and that's definitely an example of structural racism at work. And Gary, what Gary did was another example. And people go through things like that every day trying to find jobs. It's definitely a dangerous thing, and it's kind of disappointing to see people like Magic Johnson and Tim Duncan kind of paid for this guy, basically, for just, you know, support this guy. Who knows what he could be saying about you? In the conference room, on the conference call. And the fact, the audacity that he, that the nerve of him to do that on a recorded conference call, to read that and think nothing was wrong with it, think it wouldn't get back to some people. It's dangerous, and I wouldn't want that guy general managing my team.
No.
Who's gonna want to go to a team managed by Danny Ferry now?
Well, Atlanta doesn't even deserve to have a basketball team anyways. Let's just make that clear. So, but it's really important to, for all of us to keep talking about these instances and not let them fade into obscurity, because if it keeps getting talked about within, among fans, and then hopefully on TV as well, and there have been some conversations. They're not, you know, as impactful as I guess people would like, but as long as we keep talking about it, I think it can influence not just how sports changes in the future, but society at large, especially in our culture, because of how big sports are. And so that's why, you know, whenever there's a controversy and then it kind of quiets again, you'll always see, like, the panel at the beginning of a game or something be like, it's nice to get back to football. It's nice to get back to basketball. It's like, it's not just basketball or football. You know, the privilege that you have of being on this big stage, it's not just about basketball and football. That always pisses me off. I don't know what to expect, but I think one thing that they could definitely do that would be easy is to include women in decision-making processes, and on ESPN and other places like that, let women come on and give their opinions about different things. Prevent the idea, because it's true, that women's thoughts and opinions are valuable and important just as much as men's. So, and that's why if Rondo listens to our podcast, he could maybe promote it a little bit for us.
You know,
come on, Rondo.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do?
Let's see. Anything else you want to talk about? Or
good things. Who hasn't disappointed me lately? I'm not disappointed with Rondo. I know some people, because they are just always looking for a reason to be disappointed with Rondo, are so happy now that they have a reason. But I think it's really cute that Rondo took his kids to a trampoline park and just watched them jump around. And was also nice enough to take pictures with fans. And now that it's been confirmed that he didn't hurt his hand there because he didn't even jump on the trampolines, we can put that to rest, please.
Oh, God.
But well wishes to Rondo. And I'm really sad that he's not going to be there at the start of the season, because he's really one of the only things I was looking forward to. But I am looking forward to the NBA again. I miss it so much. In spite of everything, what else is good? Congrats to the Mercury for winning the WNBA championship.
Yeah.
Hard fought, especially in Brittany Griner's case.
Congratulations to Finals MVP Diana Taurasi. Although,
yes.
I kind of wanted Brittany to win it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
This will not be her last opportunity.
Yeah.
She'll be back.
Yeah. But, you know, the Mercury were struggling in Game 3 without Brittany's defense. And then in Title Game 2, when Brittany had to go out because somebody hit her in the eye.
Yeah. And then her jaw.
I think Chicago's coach watched her last NCAA game. Remember when Louisville was like beating the crap out of Brittany in that Final Four? I think they saw that game and they're like, that's how we can get an edge on the Mercury. We beat up Brittany.
Yeah.
And it almost worked, except for Diana Taurasi coming through in the clutch. Shooting big shots.
She's cold.
Yep, cold blooded. So, yeah. So, you know, she earned it. She earned the finals MVP. I just was really hoping for Brittany to get it. So she could have that and, you know, show that off in her engagement ring and just be like, yeah, I'm the best.
Mm-hmm.
So, But I guess we can look forward to the Grizzlies next year.
As always.
Yeah. See what they're going
to
do.
I'm honestly looking forward to KG and Lionel Hollins so much.
That's going to be good. I really wish Paul was there, too.
Did you see KG's quote about Paul?
No, what did he say?
Well, it wasn't much, but he said that he was with Paul when this entire negotiation process was going down between the Nets and the Wizards. Of course he was.
Yes,
and he said it was unfortunate, but still fortunate. Paul's able to be in a great situation for he and his family. I wish him nothing but the best. Blah, 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 politically correct answer. But it is bittersweet.
Aww.
It's okay, KG. I'm so excited for Paul to play with those young guys who are all, like, missed because they didn't make the Olympic team, or, I mean, the FIBA team.
Yeah.
Brad and John, which I think Paul has. That happened to Paul, too. I love it. I'm so excited.
Oh, a whole bunch of people with a chip on their shoulders. This is going to be good.
He's going to be a great influence on them.
He knows something about chips on his shoulder. He's so mad about being drafted 10th. He is.
Oh, it felt so good seeing him out there at Fenway wearing Celtics green once again.
Ah, what a belong then.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. Are we excited about anyone else in the NBA? Is it always just going to come back to those three?
Yeah, pretty much. Wherever KD and Paul are. And the believer topic. I'm excited to see how the Clippers will wash out of the second round. Oh my God, I shouldn't say that.
Hey, it's the evening, late night, sort of.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yes. Well, you know, and watch, now that I've said it, they'll actually make it to the conference finals. But, you know, at least you say no. It doesn't matter.
I don't know what it is. Like, yeah.
Who they add to the roster, it's always second round and out.
I know it's bad, but I just enjoy it. I don't know why. I still love Doc. I just...
Baby fruit shake. That's all I'll be sitting on. Just like last year.
And Rhonda's just sitting there like, mm-hmm.
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 What excuse is CP3 going to come with me this time? He's just waiting on that, just like me. What's he going to say this year? Can't throw the coach under the bus. Coach just re-upped for a brand new contract because no matter what happens, Glenn Doc Rivers is going to get his money.
Mm-hmm.
He does not care about the team. Whether he doesn't care which team, which coast, he cares about getting that money, and he's going to get it. So CP3 can't throw the coach under the bus this time. You can try to blame their roster, but... Well, last time I heard, we had the second coming of Bill Russell on the team with you. And you've got another top 20 player in Blake Griffin. And they're always putting Chris Paul in, like, the top 5 of NBA players.
Oh, God. I forgot he called.
Constantly hurt and always paces himself. And you talk about, everybody talks about Rondo taking games off and kicking plays off. What about Chris? Everybody knows he's just waiting for the fourth quarter to come out gangbusters. But that's okay because
it's his fault. And the things that he gets, the way he gets to treat the refs. Like, didn't Tony Allen get a technical for putting his hand on the ref's shoulder? Not even in an aggressive way? Or was it Serge Ibaka's? Somebody in blue and white. Anyways. But
well,
Chris can go up and yank the ball off their hands.
Yeah. And the way he flopped to get a technical put on Boogie. Knowing that, because he knows that Boogie stays in foul trouble. And in trouble with the rest. And he wants to go and flop to get another foul put on DeMarcus.
Remember that infuriating Celtics-Clippers game where he, like, ran Rondo up against the table where the announcers are and all that?
Oh, God.
And Rondo kept the ball, like, trapped between his legs. Because it was, like, out on Rondo or something. And so Chris was trying to get the ball, and Rondo wouldn't let it go. Oh, man. I loved him. I wish we could have him on the show.
He wouldn't want to talk much.
I know. But I could see him just, like, sitting there laughing, silently agreeing with us.
Yeah, I don't want to say that, you know, this is Paul's, something I can't say now. But he is. Anyway, that's who Doc went to play with. Okay. Have fun. Have fun being constant Western Conference semifinalist. And I'm going to have fun sipping my shade and fruit shake and waiting for the NBA.
Me too. I'm kind of like... I've accepted that the Celtics are going to suck. And honestly, when we were okay and when we were going to be in the playoffs for sure, it was so stressful. I need a break. I remember, like, the last time the last time that was really stressful was 2012.
Yeah.
And I just got, man, my chest got all tight. I was like, I need a break. I need to recover from that. Still, especially in that godforsaken 7-game series, Miami, which I'll never be over for the rest of my life. But I am excited for just being, like, bitter and mean about certain players this year, as usual, on late night, date night. But who do you think in the Western Conference will, I mean, early guess, like, who do you think will be the better teams?
I mean, everybody.
Like, can the Spurs be really good again? I just don't know if Timmy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hard to say.
But every year, for the past 3 or 4 years, people have said, I don't know how much Timmy has left in the tank.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. But the thing is, the way Pop and Co. have constructed that team, he doesn't have to have a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That team is being constructed around all the younger players now.
Yeah.
It's really Tony's team now.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah. And they, I mean, they slowed those guys, and then Kawhi was the Finals MVP.
Exactly. It might be, maybe it's really Kawhi's team. Kawhi does it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He's kind of like their engine now. So, they're probably going to be good. I don't think the Thunder did anything to improve in the off season.
Mm. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm excited about the Mavericks.
Oh yeah,
they Tyson Chandler's there now, and so is Chandler Parsons.
So
good for Dirk. Yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah, that should be fun. I did, man, that series they had with Spurs last year, that was nail-biting. That was good basketball. That
yeah.
Was fun.
But so this means, who do the Knicks have? Now the Tyson Chandler's not there. So I still have Carmelo, but what else?
They're
going to be in
the tank with us, so maybe we can give them
some
on how to tank.
God, the Celtics and Knicks and Sixers.
Oh, God.
Gross. Oh, the Eastern Conference is going to be ugly again.
Yep.
Bring it on.
But, yeah, so the Spurs, I don't know, maybe Phoenix this year will be taken to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I'm hoping that...
Rockets will be okay. Yeah, the Grizzlies. The Rockets, something's off. Something... I mean, I know Chandler Parsons is going to be there, and that's probably going to hurt them, but something just feels weird about their dynamic. Not that I'm really invested in it, but. Then. Who else?
Well, we'll see what the Steve Kerr-led Warriors do. I'm gonna be pouring some Shaden Fruit Shake just in case.
Does this mean T-Web finally gets to be like a regular commentator now that Steve Kerr's out?
Oh, please let it happen. Please.
Or is that what he wants?
Or,
because he's
still
good, I feel like.
Takes his whole job back.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, he's ESPN ABC. And then Steve Kerr was TNT.
Right.
Like C-Web. So hopefully, but I feel like if C-Web really wanted to do that, he would be already. Because he's clearly the best at it. At least to my mind, but I hope that we hear more from him everywhere, really, but.
Agreed. So who does that leave? We've talked about Phoenix, we talked about San Antonio, Dallas, Memphis, Oklahoma City. Who does that leave as far as contenders, playoff contenders? Like I'm missing somebody. Can't think now. Not Sacramento. Not LA. Oh, we've talked about the Clippers.
The Pelicans.
The Pelicans might be sneaky good.
Yeah.
If Ryan Anderson comes
or just health, flat out good with Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm. If Ryan Anderson comes back healthy, Eric Gordon, Drew Holiday, he's still there.
Oh, yeah.
He's still there. Yeah, but I think he got hurt last year. They had a lot of injuries. So, everybody comes back healthy. They could make a run.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, once again, in the Western Conference, it's the one to watch. I was thinking, I was getting my hopes up that the East was getting better. And it did slightly when LeBron moved to Cleveland. And Miami picked up Luol. And, but there's not, yeah. But most of the talent still resides in the West, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, and yeah, and then when Cleveland put Kevin Love in. So, the East got one much tough talent.
Mm-hmm.
So, say we need Memphis in the East. And just dissolve the Bucks. How many teams do they have anyway?
And take the Hawks, too. Take the Hawks, honestly.
Oh, God. Just to take the Pacers. Pacers are going to be, see? That's where we would have been almost on par with the West if Paul George hadn't gotten hurt. Because now we only have maybe one or two teams that are going to be that we know are going to be good.
Yeah.
In the East. And everybody else is up in the air. Like, Miami's probably still going to be a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
And they might make a first round exit, they might not.
And the Wizards. Yeah.
Did you hear that rumor that Miami wanted Rondo?
Ew.
Exactly.
Rondo himself vowed he would never play for me.
I'm like, yeah, why are you even putting that out there?
Yeah. That would be ew.
Yeah.
If you were traded there and like forced to play, would he even pass Wayne Ray the ball? Or would he just, like, protest until they traded him again?
Yeah. Or would he give... He'd probably give Walter, like, 20 touches just to... Say something now, Ray.
Just give it to him every single time.
Yep.
And Walker's like, what?
he'll be like, Rajon, stop it. I'm 3 for 10.
Stop it.
Somebody else.
We take turnovers.
Oh, my God. Yes. Stop trying to bring the ball up, dude. Anyway.
We're like, he's on a fast break, and Walter's not even, like, close to making it to the other side of the court, and he just passes it to Walter instead of, like, going for the layup.
Walter would lose his mind.
Okay, I changed my mind. Rondo used to play for the Heat.
No. He was moving so hard. He was moving so hard when he came back to Boston. And he'd be like, he'd be strong and be like, I didn't want to play here either. Oh, gosh. Then Zach Lowe said Dallas would be a good spot for Rondo. And then Simmons in Charlotte. But everybody still thinks that Rondo can't shoot at all. So everybody thinks that he wouldn't be a great fit. I'm like, haven't you? Surely Zach Lowe of all people can read stats from the last couple of seasons and see that his mid-range jumper has improved. He was shooting 50% from mid-range. But anyway, he wouldn't be a light as much of a shooting liability as people would think. So that opens up the market a tiny bit. But only a tiny bit, because there's so many good point guards in the league now. But, you know, if Bledsoe can get 70-something million from Phoenix.
Wow.
Exactly. And he's coming off of injury problems as well. And he's not proven around of it. If he can get that much money, then, yeah, broken hand or no, I don't want anybody saying anything about Rondo's next contract.
Same.
I really don't. So, I don't even want to hear about, you know, Bledsoe being younger and better. One, maybe younger, but no, not better. Oh, man. Part of the trade rumors is just going to go up in earnest even more. And especially after that stuff that Wick and Danny said last week.
What did they say?
Wick was talking on some radio show in Boston about how stubborn he is. And
what?
How he's not coachable.
Seriously?
Yeah, Wick.
Last week?
Yeah. To my knowledge, I don't think Wick has ever coached.
Oh, my.
I'm saying this is not the stuff you want to say about somebody that you want to stay around.
No. They don't deserve him.
They're talking out of both sides of their mouths. They're like, you know, we don't have any intentions of trading him, you know, but if a good deal comes, think about it. He said he wants to stay in Boston, but he's stubborn, not coachable.
Does Danny just, like, enjoy dangling Rondo?
Yes.
Like,
yes. Yes, yes, he does. And that's why... Yeah, that's why this recent injury has just made me, like, face palm even harder. They've been hyping him up so much. They're like, this is gonna be his big year. I think they're doing that, you know, just for trade offers. But as well for, like, season ticket holders, you know, to give them something to look forward to.
Are they just waiting until everybody buys their season tickets and then they'll trade them?
I hate this.
I hate that these sort of mind games are part of the business now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they always were, and I just didn't notice, but it's rough.
I feel like it's especially bad with the Celtics.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what we see all the time.
Because they only have one big juicy carrot to dangle in front of other teams.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're dangling it, and they don't care that the carrot is not really a carrot, but a person with feelings and opinions. And pretty soon, he'll have the freedom to decide where he wants to be. And New York and Detroit are just waiting. They would not mind seeing him come their way. I wouldn't doubt it if Phil told Carmelo just by the time 2015. Free agency will go on after Toronto, which would be hilarious to me to have him coached by Derek Fisher and GM by Phil Jackson. I just can't. I can't imagine it. I can't
no.
see it. I can't see it. I can't see it in New York. But Detroit. Detroit, I don't want to see it because I'm sorry. I know they're friends, but I don't think Rondo Smith, that's not going to be a good combination on the court.
No, no.
It's just going to encourage Smith to take more ill-advised jumpers instead of going to
yeah, Detroit. That's another series of strange decisions in Detroit.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't. See, Dallas would be a great fit with a great coach. A Hall of Fame player like Dirk. He'd be in the Western Conference, which means he'd never see the All-Star game again.
Right.
So,
and he's like the perfect point guard for the All-Star game.
I know. And, so yeah, I'd really like him to continue to be an All-Star.
Mm-hmm.
So that means staying in the East. The choice of the teams in the East is just, my Indiana dream died. And Paul George got hurt. So, might as well stay in Boston, I guess. But I don't think Danny really, I don't know.
For now.
Maybe once we find out where Rondo ends up.
They've made it clear that they don't want to build around him. They want to build around maybe Rondo and someone else, but not just Rondo.
Yeah. Danny hasn't proven that he's able to build around him.
Yeah.
Or has any desire. So, yeah. So, wherever he ends up, if he ends up in Boston in 2016, then maybe we'll see, Danny really start to build around players.
Mm-hmm.
Because
what's he going to do with all those dude guards?
Yeah.
he's gonna have to do some work in 2015 because Rondo's getting a no trade clause.
Yeah, and
I can almost guarantee he's going to ask for a no trade clause.
I would.
Hell yeah. KG's probably in his ear saying, "Don't forget that no trade clause." So
you're gonna send him an email.
No. So, forget. So, come 2015, if Rondo stays in Boston, we'll see what Danny's made of and see what exactly he's willing to do. To build it together. Because there's no time to BS around after that.
Finally.
Yeah. It would be nice just to not hear about trade rumors anymore and hear about all these liabilities he so-called seems to have. I'm so tired of hearing about taking off games. I'm tired of hearing about his attitude. I'm tired of hearing about how immature he is and how much of a shooting liability he is. And, that's stuff from years ago that people are still dragging with him.
And, he hasn't been their best player since 2009.
Yeah. So, yeah. We could have a late night hate night all about Danny Ainge. But not today.
I'd have to do weeks of research for that.
That's a rabbit hole you don't want to go down.
Yeah.
Don't go down that rabbit hole. It'll make you bitter and angry.
I live in that rabbit hole.
Oh, boy. Okay. So, I guess we'll wrap it up.
Alrighty.
Once again, email address is seizeuppodcast@gmail.com. Twitter is @seizeuppodcast. Hopefully you'll hear this once it's posted to iamcausewaystreet.tumblr.com. Or when it hits your iTunes feed. So, thanks you guys for listening to Late Night Hate Night, and hopefully next time we'll have some encouraging news, relatively encouraging news about the Celtics to talk about. So, on behalf of Olivia, I'm Didi. We're looking forward to basketball starting up again, and seize up.
Seize up.